So, I have a 2-year-old, and she's really fun, and we get little glimpses of that fun in between the meltdowns and some of the other stuff, but we get good glimpses, and I'll share this video with you now. See if you can guess the song.
He fell down.
Around the rosy, pock-a-posy, at you, we all fall down. Not ashes, but at you. That's an actual old lyric of that. There's a version of that that has at you in there. But yeah, we get to have so much fun. Last weekend, we got to go down to see some of my family in Tulsa, and I'll share this with you. It's kind of hard to see, but there's Nora in the middle with her purse, and these are her cousins. And that's her great aunt above that. So I've asked you a few times to be praying for my great aunt or my aunt. She is my father's sister-in-law, and she is going through some pretty intense chemotherapy right now to try to beat this cancer thing. And it was a great weekend. We got to surprise her. She didn't know anybody was coming. Her husband knew. My uncle knew. That the whole family was going to come. And so we all drove in from Houston and St. Louis and Kansas City and Oklahoma City. We all drove down to Tulsa, and we got to see them this weekend. So she got to spend a weekend with, those are all of her great-grandchildren, and then Nora is her great-niece. So it was just a really, really awesome time to get to experience some of that, to experience some family togetherness. We stayed in a hotel while we were down there. And Nora usually does pretty well in a hotel. She likes her pack and play. She's used to it. We travel a lot. We try to get her out, and she spends the night at her grandparents' house a lot. So we were hopeful, you know, that it would go pretty well. First night she woke up at 3 a.m. and would not go back to sleep. And so we just brought her in bed with us, and she kind of laid and tossed and turned and finally fell back to sleep in our bed. The second night, she decided that she didn't want to be in her pack and play anymore, ever again. So we tried for about an hour to get her calmed down and get her in there. And finally, Andrea and I gave up, and she just laid in bed with us. And so she slept with us in bed. This is about the first time she's ever done this. She didn't do that at home. She's been in a crib since she was very small, and a bassinet before that. And over the past two nights, we have figured out that may have started something. So she's been a little. So we've been struggling. We've been dealing with little wake-ups around midnight, past two nights, and we're up for about 3 hours till she finally calms back down and falls back to sleep. So if I look a little, if the bags under the eyes are a little bit more than usual, that's why. I apologize. But something else that we've been working through is how we. Then engage with not only our each other, Andrea and I, and then engage with our daughter when we're tired. Little things start to creep up, right? Little things start to just make you more mad. And we caught ourselves complaining because she goes downstairs. She's downstairs right now, probably taking a nap right about now, hopefully. In her classroom, there is a child in her classroom that has a peanut allergy. And so we were asked. They asked all the other families not to bring peanut butter, so this student can be in the class and be safe. He's very allergic, very very allergic to peanut butter. I don't know if it's he. They are very allergic to peanut butter. I told the teacher, conservatively, my diet consists 60% of peanut butter. So this has been hard. This has been really hard for us. We send a peanut butter sandwich. That is what we do. We were sending it. She was like, 3 days a week, she'd get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and she loved it. And she was eating it, and it was going really well. And then this, and it was just this little thing, and we're just like, it's just one kid. You know, all those little things start to pop up into your mind, and you get frustrated, and you're tired on top of it. And this morning, I was just tired, and I was just like, God, I wish I didn't have to make all this extra food and do all this stuff. I just make a peanut butter sandwich. And I thought about it, and I had another story pop up into my head, and I was just, I felt convicted. So let me read some scripture, and I think you'll understand where I'm going with this. I want to talk to you a little bit about this scripture, and then we'll talk about where my mind went this morning after I read this to myself. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who have received the good things from my father. Inherit the kingdom that was prepared before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Those who are righteous will reply to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you? Or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison? Then the king will reply to them, I assure you that when you have done it for the least of these siblings of mine, you have done it for me. Then he will say to those on his left, get away from me, you who will receive terrible things. Go into the unending fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And I was hungry, and you didn't give me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't welcome me. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothes to wear. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you as a stranger, naked, sick, anything? And he will answer, I assure you that when you haven't done for the least of these, you haven't done it for me. Bless this reading with to our hearing and to our understanding. It's pretty heavy a little bit at the end there, right? It's pretty strict, pretty straight to the point. Very repetitive. There's some huge moments in this passage for us as Christians, for us as people trying to live, look, and love like Jesus. There's so for my literary friends in the room, think about the parallelism that is being used in this. Think about hearing this. Nobody would have read this. One person, maybe in a community, would have been able to actually read this to other people, a few people in a community. Hearing this, driving the point home, words repeated over and over again. When I was, you did. When I wasn't, you didn't. All of these things repeated over and over again to get the point across the how important Jesus was telling these, how important it was for Jesus to tell these things to his people. Some people like to use this passage to drum up some fear, right? They like to say, well, if you're not living like I want you to live, a pastor will say this sometimes, hell is on the way. Hell is coming. And they use that to fit their exact little perfect worldview, wherever that is, whatever political side you want to sit on for that. All of the things in this world can be used to coerce. Yes, it is important for us to listen to Jesus' words, but if you remember, we believe and live like Jesus because of Jesus, not so that we get into heaven, or worse, so that we don't go to hell. That is not life change. That is not a change of heart. We do these things because of the example that we have seen in Christ, because of the example set forth through Scripture of a human being, fully God, fully human, who came, took on flesh, lived among us, showed us a different way to live, showed us a different way to be. This matters. This is something that is different. This is something that looks otherworldly almost. The writer strongly makes us a point about how we are to behave. A few years ago, a person at this church posted a picture of them and their child at a Royals game. And it was the first time this child had been to a Royals game. And it caught me by surprise because this child was 10 or 11. Not going to lie, Nora's first Royals game was, I think, before 1. But I looked at that post, and I looked closer, and I looked at the things, the writing on the post on social media. And there was a very specific reason that child was at that game that day. A couple of times a year, the Royals host a food allergy night. This child was deathly allergic to peanuts. Imagine being a young boy or a young girl and not being able to go to a baseball game because of the peanut shells on the ground. What do you enjoy at a baseball game? Boy, I know I enjoy some peanuts. So one night or two nights a year, they make a safe place for people who have a large inconvenience in their life, have things that they struggle with. What you did for the least, what you did for all people, you did for me. It kind of puts my small struggle of packing a lunch every day into perspective. It makes me think about this child. It puts a face to that child. That's what our responsibility is. When we see somebody that we don't agree with, when we see somebody that we think maybe should have made different life choices to not end up in the state that they're in, when we see somebody that struggles, when we see somebody caught in the throes of addiction, when we see somebody that's life is falling apart, marriage is falling apart, kids all over the place, when we judge Christ. That is not a place that I want to be. I still do it. I still struggle with it. I still need the reminders of text, the reminders of Scripture, to breathe new life into me every single day. I need a place where I belong, where I can have struggles and questions and curiosities, but also at the end of the day, I can find life and belonging, knowing that I am loved by God. We build a place here where I let go of my inconvenience. I let go of my minor inconvenience, because it allows someone else to find belonging. How great is it that we have a place that cares enough about a child to not just say, well, sorry, that's if we want them to bring peanut butter. or it's really hard for parents to not choose, to send something like that, or a baseball game where they don't get to sell peanuts that night. We build places where we give up our, we give over, lending our inconvenience because it might allow someone else to find belonging, not for some cosmic reward, because this is the love that Christ first showed us.